Let's go tonight, if you will, to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. And last time that we studied the first 26 verses of this chapter, when our Lord met this woman of Samaria at the well, we concluded in verse 26, where he confessed to her, "I that speak unto thee am." She had told him, "We know, or we've heard, that the Messiah is coming. And when he comes, he will tell us all things." And the Lord Jesus Christ confessed unto her. And very clearly, I might say, more so maybe than to any other person in the gospel, the Lord spoke to this woman and confessed to her that he is the Messiah. Now, the Messiah had been promised. She said, "We have heard." The Messiah had been promised from the Garden of Eden. Just as soon as man sinned in the garden, God spoke and God declared that he would come who would bruise the serpent's head. She said, "We know, we've heard that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. He said, I that speak unto thee am he." Now, in the next few verses, verses 27 through 42 tonight, I want to point out four things to us that took place. First, I want us to be aware that the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, they marveled. They marveled that he talked with this woman. Notice what it says in verse 27. "And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, Why seekest thou, or what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her?" They had left him a short while before this. He was weary of the journey, and he was sitting there on the side of the well when this woman came out to draw water. They had gone into the city to buy food, and in their absence, of course, she came. And she came to draw water, and the Lord used this opportunity to speak to her about the water of life, the water that he would give unto those who ask him. When they returned, they marveled. They were amazed that he would be speaking to a woman, period, and especially a Samaritan woman. They were amazed that he would do such a thing. And this makes me believe that his disciples, remember, they're just learning themselves. They were not born full-grown disciples. They were born just like everyone else, born into the kingdom of God as a babe, and they had to grow. They had to learn. But the fact that John tells us, and remember, John's writing this, he was one of them. And he's just confessing, "We came back and we marveled. We were amazed when we saw him speaking to a woman, and a woman of Samaria." They, I believe, were much like Simon, what we read over in Luke chapter 7, the Pharisee by the name of Simon. You remember he invited the Lord to come to his house and eat lunch or eat dinner with him. In Luke chapter 7 and verse 36, the scripture says, "One of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner." Now, there was something about this woman everyone recognized in this place, in this home. There was something about her that marked her as a sinner. Now, we know that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. This woman of Samaria, she too, there was something about her evidently coming in the heat of the day to draw water that marked her out as an outcast, so to speak, as a sinner, even among the Samaritans there in her city. "Behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now, when the Pharisee, that is Simon, when he saw what was taking place, he marveled. He marveled, just like the disciples of the Lord. They marveled when they came back and they saw Jesus speaking to this woman of Samaria. The Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it. He spake within himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner." Our Lord, the Pharisees and the scribes, they murmured many times against the Lord Jesus Christ. And this was one accusation they brought against him. He receiveth and eateth with sinners. Aren't you thankful tonight? Aren't you glad tonight that he receiveth and eateth with sinners? Where would we be? Where would we be tonight? What hope would we have tonight if the Lord Jesus Christ was not one who receives and eats with sinners? That's the reason he came into this world, to seek and to save that which is lost. He said he came not to call the righteous to repentance, but sinners. And so these disciples, they came back and they marveled that the Lord Jesus Christ would be speaking to this woman. The Lord speaking to us from his word should cause us to marvel. Are you amazed tonight? When you look around and you see the many people that have no clue, no desire, no understanding whatsoever about their need. You know, I see people and I hear people sometimes and I think to myself, not only do they not know the answer, they don't even know there's a problem. Do you marvel tonight that God would speak to you? That God from his word would reveal himself to you? Of all the people on this planet, that God would choose you, that God would set you apart and reveal himself unto you? We should marvel. We do marvel, don't we? Remember what he said in 1 Corinthians. You see your calling, brethren. Let's read that. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Beginning with verse 26. "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, nothing, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence." We should marvel, just like these disciples. They marveled that the Lord Jesus Christ would be speaking to such a woman. A woman, first of all, and then a woman of Samaria, that he would be speaking to her. But he said this in his prayer in John chapter 17 to his father. He said, "I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word." So first of all, we see that his disciples marveled that he talked with this woman. And I say unto each one of us tonight, we too should be amazed. That's what John Newton meant when he wrote that hymn, "Amazing Grace," isn't it? An old slave trader like him, that God would have mercy and save someone so depraved as he saw himself to be. Now the second thing, the woman announced Christ's presence in verse 28. The scripture says, the woman then left her water pot. When these disciples of our Lord came back, they scared her away. They scared her away. She could speak with the Lord Jesus Christ. She could talk with Him, but there was something about these disciples, evidently, that scared her away. It could have been their self-righteousness. It could have been. But she took off. The woman then left her water pot. The water pot is the same, the word tells us it's the same size water pot that the Lord made water into wine. And those were large water pots. So this water pot, if it was empty or full, it was bulky. And to take her water pot with her would have slowed her down. So she leaves the water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come, see a man, which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. She left it and was off to announce to all that she saw the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. She wasn't speaking about anything else or anyone else. Her message, her announcement concerned Christ. Christ. Come see a man. Come see a man that's told me all things. This woman did what the Lord Jesus Christ told a man to do. This man, when the Lord crossed over the sea one night in a storm, and just as he got off the ship, there's this man meets him out of the tombs. He's called the demoniac of Gadara. He was possessed of 1,000 demons. You know the story. The scripture says he was naked. He was untamed. They tried to tame him by chaining him, and he could break the fetters, and he was strong, and he was wild, and he was possessed of demons. And the Lord Jesus Christ cast those demons out of him. Remember, they went into a herd of swine, and the swine ran, jumped off a cliff and drowned in the sea. And the people came out from the towns, and they said, we'd like for you to leave. These people of Gadara, they came out to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they said, we want you to go away. And he obliged them. He obliged them. He got in the ship. But that man, he wanted to go with him. Remember, he got in the ship too. Let's read that over here in Mark chapter 5. In Mark chapter 5 and verse 18. Mark chapter 5 and verse 18. And when he, that is the Lord Jesus, was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. He wanted to go with the Lord. Wanted to stay with him. Wanted to be with this one who had done so much for him. Can't even imagine what his life was before the Lord came to him. Can you? This man, I suppose, had a family. Don't you know when the children saw their dad coming home, they ran to hide? This man was a wild man, demon-possessed. And soon as the Lord casts those demons out of him and the Lord gets in the ship, he wants to go with him. But look at what our Lord told this man, verse 19. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home. Isn't that what this woman is doing? She leaves her water pot and she takes off. Go home. She went to the city of Sychar, her hometown. Go home. to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he listened, didn't he? He obeyed, didn't he? And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. This woman, she took off, and she began to tell those in her town, come see a man that hath told me all things. He had told her enough about her life. When he said, go call your husband, remember, she said, well, I don't have a husband. He said, well, you've said the truth there. You've had five husbands, and the man you're living with now is not your husband. He told her enough to convince her that he was a prophet. He was a prophet. And notice, she didn't say, he is the Christ. This is interesting. Pay attention here. When she goes to speak to those of her city, she doesn't go in telling them, I have found the Christ. She had, but that's not the way she phrased her announcement, is it? She asked the question, is this not the Christ? When a person is born again of the Spirit of God and converted, it's only natural that that person begins to witness and testify, and especially to those nearest to him, his family. That's almost always the experience of the ones that I've known, myself, those that I've known. We want to go to our family, our brothers, our sisters, our parents even, and speak to them about Christ, that he's had mercy upon us, that we found him who is the Christ. But she had wisdom, this woman did. One writer pointed out that in speaking with others about the gospel and their relationship to Christ, that many times a question is an excellent way to go about it. Think about that. When you desire to witness to someone, to tell them about Christ, maybe a question would help to open the door to speak to them about Christ. What's your hope? What do you believe takes place when a person dies? Where does a person go? And isn't that the question? One of the questions Job answered, if a man dies, shall he live again? How can a man be just with God? These are all questions that might help us in witnessing to others. And that's the way she went about it. She didn't go in saying, we found the Christ, because maybe they would not have listened to her. But she asked the question, is this not the Christ? Well, here's the third thing. The master's meat in verses 31 through 38. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereupon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and you are entered into their labors. Now the disciples here again, we see they show their carnality, because they're thinking when the Lord said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Their mind was thinking about food. They had gone to buy food. And when he said that, then they asked this question, has someone else brought him food? Has someone else brought him something to eat. You know, one day they got on a ship, the Lord with his disciples, and he said this to them, "Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees." And what did they think? We didn't bring any bread. We didn't bring any bread. Leaven's in bread, right? Causes it to rise. We didn't bring any bread. Now, they're just seeing the Lord feed 5,000 people. Not having any bread, would that have been a problem? But our Lord told them the leaven that he was speaking of was the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. Beware of the leaven. Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. They said it's because we have taken no bread. But it was not leaven in the bread our Lord was warning about, but the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And here, when he speaks of meat, their thoughts were carnal and wonder, has someone brought him food to eat? But he said, my meat is to do the will of my Father and finish his work. Think about that. My meat is to do the will of my Father and finish his work. What is the will of the Father? What was the will of the Father that he was given to do? Well, look over a few pages in John chapter 6. John chapter 6, and beginning with verse 38. He said, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me," the will of the Father. "And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." To do the Father's will and finish his work, he must call, he must save, he must ransom with his blood those that the Father gave to him. And notice in that passage in verse 37, this is one of those unconditional promises. "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me." All. Every single one. "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." That is what we call an unconditional promise. It's not conditioned on anything that men do. It's conditioned on God's word, God's promise. "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. For this is the Father's will, that I finish the work which he has given me to do." This was his meat in revealing himself to this woman. This was his meat. This was his food. And now to the man who came because of her saying, and he impresses upon his disciples that their meat, they are disciples of the Lord. They are to be sent out and preach the gospel. Their meat, they must be diligent in serving the Lord. Their meat must be his meat. His meat was doing the will of his Father. And these disciples, this must be their meat as well. They are to be preachers of his gospel. And he speaks of this work as harvest work. You know, harvest work is busy work. You know, if you plant a crop, you plant usually the same day or in the same few days, but that means everything's going to be ripe at the same time. So it's busy work, isn't it? It's hard work, but it's busy work. And he tells his disciples, lift up your eyes. Now, picture in your mind these 12 disciples and the Lord here speaking, and here comes these people from Sychar. The woman had gone into that town and she said, come see a man. And here they come. And our Lord said, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. Is he speaking about those who were coming from Samaria, coming from that city out there? Is that who he's speaking of when he says the harvest is ripe or white unto harvest? Lift up your eyes and look on the fields. You see them coming? Do you see them coming? I sent you. Notice what he said to them. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. They'd never been in that town before. Someone else had. And that's obvious because that woman knew the Messiah was coming. John the Baptist, he had preached. And the many prophets also had preached and proclaimed that the Messiah was coming. They were doing the groundwork. They were sowing the seed. And we read that passage at the beginning of the service in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 where Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered. Some plant, some water. But God gives the increase. Always that's the case. Harvest time is not only a busy time, but it is a joyful time. And the joy is shared between the one who sows and the one who reaps. The one who sowed the seed rejoices, and the one who reaps rejoices as well. Why? Because there's a harvest. Because there's a harvest of souls. Now, one other thing. Many of the Samaritans believed. Verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did. It seems that they believed at first on the strength of her testimony. And then they heard him themselves and they believed. And I just want to make this point. You never know how the Lord may use your testimony. You speak to someone about Christ like this woman did. She probably had no idea that so many people would come out and come to Christ and believe. Thank you, Andrea. And I think of a prime example is that little maid, an Israelite, who was captured by Naaman. He was the commander of the Assyrian army. And she was taken from her family. She must have been about 12, 13, 14 years old. Can you imagine that? Taken from her home, from her parents, taken into a foreign country. And yet she had a word of testimony, didn't she? She said, would to God that my master was in Israel, because there's a prophet over there, and he would be healed of his leprosy. And sure enough, you know the story, Naaman came. And at first Naaman, like everyone, he said, I thought. Isn't that usually the case? I thought. It's not what you think. It's not what I think. It's what God says. I thought this man would surely come out and strike his hands over me. But all he did was send a servant out here and tell me to go duck in the Jordan River 7 times. And I would come up clean. And in a huff, he takes off, doesn't he? Going back home. But his servant spoke to him and reminded him, if he had told you, if that prophet had told you to get on your knees and crawl all the way back home over glass, you would have done it. But he told you, just go dip in that Jordan. Nothing hard about that. Just go dip in that Jordan 7 times and you'll come up clean. You know, people think that they've got to do this, they've got to feel this, they've got to experience this. The Lord Jesus Christ said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Well, I trust the Lord would bless this word to all of us here tonight. We'll sing a hymn and then be dismissed.